We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning, church. Welcome. It is good to be together on this lovely first Sunday of Advent. A few announcements before we get started. Our liturgist this morning is Tamara Straub. Our radio sponsor is Denny Kahn in honor of Chris. Help excite little people. There are lots of dates for cleaning toys and things, so please check the schedule here in your order of worship. I won't say them all. Sunday, December 15th, we will have our kids' Christmas program, and after church, a craft and bake sale. So come and bring some things and then buy some other things. And our Christmas Eve program will be December 24th at 5:30 p.m. Also, after church today and next week, we have some adult education. We'll be looking at Advent and Christmas stories. And Sunday, December 29th, 1 p.m., Ken Longquist and friends will present Old Befana, a holiday musical that will be here at church. There will be an admission donation and also refreshments after, so please put that on your calendars. It'll be fun. From our first UCC welcome statement, First United Church of Christ is an open and affirming congregation. We strive to foster loving and caring relationships in our church and community as we welcome and value all people. Whoever you are, however you identify, whomever you love, whatever your story, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome as you are here at First UCC Sauk City. So to the littles, to the all-the-way grown-up people, to men, women, anywhere in between. Whether you haven't been to church for a while or you were here much of the day yesterday putting up all the beautiful Advent things, whatever your ethnic or any kind of background, whatever your abilities, you're welcome here. Now let us take some silence to enter into this holy space. The Benedictines talk about statio. It's observing the time in between the transitions. Stop doing the last thing. You are here now. God is here now.
In weary and worn world, how do we begin again? Where do we start?
Let us begin with the good news. Let us begin by trusting that we are a blessing, loved by a gracious God. Let us begin with music and singing. Let us begin with warmth and welcome. Let us begin with hope.
Let us begin with hope. Today we light the candle of hope to shine a light in a worn and weary world.
May this be our foundation. May this be our fresh start. May this be our new beginning.
May hope flow forth from here. Amen.
Please join me in our prayer of unburdening. Affirming God, how often do you speak to us, and how often do we miss it? How often do you whisper blessings over us that we refuse to hear? Open our hearts. Create space in us not only to hear these words, but to believe the good news tucked between them. We are hungry for your wisdom, so speak to us now. With hope and curiosity, we listen. With hope and curiosity, we dare to begin again. Amen. And hear God's promise. We believe in a blessing God who calls us beloved. We believe that this blessing shows up in the life of Mary and was also bestowed upon the hemorrhaging woman, the poor in spirit, the children, the crowds, the Jews, the Gentiles, the faithful and the doubting. So in faith, we trust that God's blessing, like ripples of water, forever reaches toward us. And with wild hope, we believe that because of this blessing, we are covered in love. We are more than enough. For which we all say,
thanks be to God.
born, we wait for the feeling that love is near. We wait for God's promised day. Advent is a season of waiting. While we humans are good
at many things, waiting is not one of them. We are impatient and anxious, eager to know what comes next. Maybe that is why this table is such a gift. When we come to this table, for just a moment, the waiting stops. Would we come to this table for a moment, we receive God's promise. A glimpse of the world where all are welcomed, where all are loved, where all are fed. For a moment, perhaps we can hear the angels say, "Do not be afraid." For a moment, Mary's words might tumble through our minds. Words of justice, words of hope. Words like the hungry have been filled and the humble have been lifted. So come to this table for a glimpse of what could be. For love is hovering close all around. God is all around. All are welcome here. On the last night of his incarnate life, Jesus sat at table with friends and he shared a meal. The child born in a manger, in a feeding trough, in the town of Bethlehem, which means house of bread, broke bread with his friends and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Eat and remember me." He took a cup of wine, he poured it and blessed it. He said, "This is the cup of love, my blood, shed for you. Drink and remember." Remember a God who loves you enough to be with you, in you, always, and come in person to meet you. Remember this table where values are upended. An empire doesn't get to tell us who and what matters. Holy Spirit, pour out your gifts on this bread, this wine. Make them feed our bodies, our spirits, our hearts in this time of Advent, this time of expectant waiting. May we be filled with hope. In your name we pray. Amen. Sometimes we tell ourselves that too much has taken place to begin again. We think the world is too far gone. We think we have made too many mistakes. We tell ourselves we couldn't possibly begin again. But then we come to this table and we get a glimpse of your kingdom, where all are welcomed, all are seen, all are fed, and we can have hope. We can begin again. We thank you for this gift of a fresh start, for planting hope deep into our bones, for meeting us in ordinary bread and wine, to remind us it is never too late to build your kingdom here. We are grateful. Amen. Now we have a choir anthem.
Do not be afraid, for God. Now it's our kids' time. Do our kids want to come forward?
Time for us to get ready for Christmas. You know when you have maybe a new baby brother or sister coming? And you do. And you have a lot to do to get ready? Or if you're getting maybe a new pet. When I got my dog, my last dog, before I got him, I got a bed, and I got food, and I got toys, and I picked out names, and I did a lot to get ready.
It's even more if you've got a new little brother or sister coming. To have a room and all kinds of stuff.
So this time is getting our hearts ready for Christmas. Christmas is about love and peace and kindness. So we have this time to get our hearts ready. Today we're going to hear, after you go to Sunday school, a little bit about Mary, who is Jesus' mom, and she was pretty tough. She was strong. An angel came and asked her if she wanted to have a baby. And she wasn't married, and she didn't ask anybody's permission. She said, yeah, I'm going to do that. How much faith and courage might that have taken? Yeah. All right. I don't know what you're going to do in Sunday school today. Something fun. Let us pray. Holy God, bless these children and kids in our lives, in our hearts, in our families. May they grow in wisdom and in faith, in love of you, love of their neighbor, love of themselves. May they open their hearts to the peace of Advent. Amen. Yes.
I'm going to break the rules of a good exit with the students. And I have a joy, and I'm going to be gone when you do the prayers today. Speaking of waiting, my husband and I are being blessed with a grandchild. Our daughter and husband Matt are expecting in early March. So thank you for sharing with us our happiness. Okay, wonderful.
Today's reading is from Hebrew scripture, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 through 7. Hear what God says, the God who made you. Don't be afraid. I have saved you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you go through the water, I will be with you. When you cross the rivers, they won't knock you down. When you walk through fire, you won't be burned. I am your God, the God of your people, your Savior. I would trade all the riches of the world for you because you are precious in my sight. You are honored, and I love you. Don't be afraid. I am with you. I will gather all my children, east and west, north and south. I will bring my children from the ends of the earth, all the children who are called by my name, who I created for my glory, who I formed and made.
And our gospel reading is from Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 56. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the loneliness of God's servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. God's mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. God has shown strength with his arm, has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped servant Israel in remembrance of mercy, according to the promise made to our ancestors, to Abraham and all his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. I have a poem from Denise Levertov. We know the scene, the room variously furnished, almost always a lectern, a book, always the tall lily, arrived on solemn grandeur of great wings, the angelic ambassador, standing or hovering, whom she acknowledges, a guest. But we are told of meek obedience. No one mentions courage. The engendering spirit did not enter her without consent. God waited. She was free to accept or refuse, choice integral to humanness. Aren't there annunciations of one sort or another in most lives? Some unwittingly undertake great destinies, enact them in sullen pride, uncomprehending. More often, those moments when roads of light and storm open from darkness in man or woman are turned away from in dread, in a wave of weakness, in despair and relief. Ordinary lives continue. God does not smite them, but the gates close, the pathways vanish. She did not cry, "I cannot, I am not worthy, nor I have not the strength." She did not submit with gritted teeth, raging, coerced. Bravest of all humans, consent illumined her. The room filled with light, the lily glowed in it, and the iridescent wings. Consent, courage unparalleled, opened her utterly. Around 1400, German mystic Meister Eckhart said in his Christmas Eve sermon, What good is it to me that Mary gave birth to the Son of God 1400 years ago if I do not give birth to Christ now? Many of you know I used to be Catholic. In Catholic and Orthodox traditions, Marian devotion, and I know a number of former Catholics and people married to Catholics in the church, Marian devotion can be a big thing. Mariology. I always had a little bit of a hard time with this. I found the way that she was spoken of challenging. Primary issues were virginity and obedience. So what is anybody, much less a woman, supposed to do with that? Obedience and virginity. Obey the just happened to be coincidentally all male authorities. Be chaste. Have children, but not sex. Teaching was not only was she a virgin when Jesus was conceived, but that she remained so for all of her life. Why would she do that? Because good women do. It's easy to idealize in a church where the leadership is all men. So Mary, this gentle, meek, obedient, mild, for centuries the church has portrayed her as submissive, suggested not just subtly that Mary turned over her will to God, so women should turn over their wills. It glosses motherhood, which is fierce and passionate and powerful. It bathes this revolutionary risk taker with docility. It twists her obedience into the suggestion that the weak owe obedience to anybody who might be in charge. So, growing up, I didn't hear a single sermon about the song Luke attests to Mary. the teenage girl who gave birth to Jesus. No one told me that Mary's song is the longest set of words spoken by a woman in the New Testament. No one remarked on the fact that she sang her prophetic song on her cousin Elizabeth's doorstep, while Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, who is a priest and the official spokesperson of God, had been struck with silence. This song is soaked in Jewish women's history, echoing words and stories of Miriam, Hannah, Judith, Deborah. It's one of the church's oldest Advent hymns. Mary. We expect her to be it all. Virgin and mother, saint but not sinner, buried her under so many layers of theology and piety and politics, it's nearly impossible to push that aside. This troubling model of pious femininity, sinless woman, a patriarchal idea of female honor. But I think also we Protestants are in some ways spiritually impoverished by rejecting Mary. I think it's appropriate for us to ask, what can we learn from these biblical accounts? So Mary, in Luke's story, Gabriel's words to Mary sound like a declaration. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son. But when we read the story, it becomes clear that Gabriel is making a request, an offer, not issuing a command. We know this because Luke ends this story with Mary giving consent, saying, "Here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." If this were a command, she wouldn't have to consent. And it's not just consent, it's informed consent. She gets to ask her questions. Hey, what? How will this be? We see right from the beginning, she's not just a passive object, and she is an active character in the story. Gabriel greets her. She has a human reaction. She was much perplexed and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. I suspect that was an understatement. But she doesn't go ask her parents or Joseph. She doesn't respond, "Well, angel, this sounds like it might be okay, but I have to ask if I can do it." This Mary does her own thinking and discerning, and she has moral autonomy. She has the freedom to say no to God. She asks questions. How? And in the end, she says yes. She is fully equal. Episcopal priest Barbara Brown Taylor notes, "Mary describes these divine reversals as if they already happened. God has brought. God has filled. God has sent. Prophets," Taylor writes, "almost never get their verb tenses straight, because part of that gift is the ability to see the world as God sees it, not just divided into things that are already over and things that haven't happened yet, but as an eternal, unfolding, divine mystery that surprises everyone." So these two women meet on the cusp of new life. They celebrate a God who sees, a God whose loving care is on the tiniest and most intimate particulars of their circumstances, their lives, their desires. "God has looked with favor," Mary says. That yes is interesting. Christian tradition has used it to portray Mary as meek, faithful, obedient, and until quite recently has seen only men as able to stand for God, seeing God in exclusively male terms. Sort of complicated. None of the churches that say that you can only talk about God as male says that God is actually male, but just that God wants to be referred to as male. So Mary becomes this symbol of submission. There's a lot we don't know. When did she tell her parents she was pregnant? How did she tell her parents she was pregnant? Did she tell Joseph herself, or did gossip reach him? Did anyone in the village believe her story? After the angel departed, did she really believe it herself? Did she doubt? Did she question her sanity? Did she fear for her life in a culture that had honor killings? But the story wasn't written as history or biography. It was written to make a point about who God is and who God isn't. God is someone who respects Mary, who asks. God can do much, and this story reminds us that God cannot have faith for us. We have to engage with the mystery that is life. We have to take those steps. Sometimes saying yes to something when we don't know where it's going to go, what's going to happen. Mary didn't know. If Gabriel had told her what was going to happen, would she have said yes? No idea. But Advent is about this road, this figuring out, this waiting, this not knowing. She says yes. So what good is it to me that Mary gave birth 1,400 years ago, now 2,000 years ago, if we do not also give birth to the Son of God in our time and our culture? We are all meant to be mothers of God, because God always needs to be born. Incarnation matters. God becoming flesh, living here among us, matters. Christmas isn't just a story of a baby born 2,000 years ago. It's a story of a God born each and every day. If we let that happen. Amen. And our hymn is number 119, My Soul Gives Glory to My God.
Gives glory to my God, my heart pours out its praise.
Now it is time to share our prayers with God, who knows and loves us in all things. Any prayers to share today?
I'd like to say thank you to all the congregants who make this such a beautiful church, who maintain it, who decorate it. It's glorious, so thank you.
I'd like to put out prayers for so many people that are suffering with various illnesses right now, accidents. Please hold them in your hearts, their families, and give them peace and healing. And guide so many people that will be traveling through our holiday season now. Special birthdays coming up that people will be traveling for. Just be with us all, Lord. Thank you.
I just have in mind those groups of people who are living in fear right now about what the future holds for them, and ask that this spirituality of Advent be with them, that they can wait and hope and trust that they are loved by God and will be taken care of, and that this birth of Christ in us that you talk about will give us the courage to help when needed and where needed.
I just want to give an update on our little Lucas, who was a year ago Thanksgiving, was taken into Madison Children's Hospital for diagnosis. He battled that for lots of months in the hospital. He is well, but he is doing great. He is on chemo from South Madison. For chemo, he will do that for 12 months, they say. But he is doing great, and I want to thank everybody who has prayed for him. Prayers have sure helped him. Thank you.
Pray also for healing for Christy, continues with broken ribs, for Gary, Katie, all those in this congregation who need healing. Holy God, we pray for those who suffer from illness, who've had accidents, for travelers this time of year, for students and teachers at the end of the semester. We pray for all those who are living in fear for what the future holds. We give thanks and continue to pray for Lucas and his family. And holy God, we give thanks for this beautiful church, the gorgeous decorations, the people who show up, this community. For all these and the prayers that we hold in our hearts, we ask you to hear us today. Amen. And God invites us to share from our blessings to build this community.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.